I invite you to bow your heads with me, and we will start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful that we can come as disciples for you. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen us to be lights in this world. And Father, we crave that audience time with you every morning. And it's because of that, Father, that we are trying to hone this skill and develop this spiritual muscle of communion with you. So, Father, tonight, bless us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Sonny Fox was a young boy who suffered terribly with his health. Went to the doctors many, many times, and the doctors were not able to do anything for Sonny's health. And so the parents, Mr. and Mrs. Fox, asked the doctor, "What can we do to help our son? We're willing to do whatever it takes." And so the doctor said, "Listen, the only thing that will help your son is if you move to a warmer climate." So he recommended that they move to Arizona. Well, being good, loving parents, they decided that they would do whatever it took for their son's health. So the day came and the boxes came into the house and all the house household items were beginning to be packed into one box after another. And as you know, when you're packing and you're getting ready to move, oftentimes there's things that you get rid of because you find that you don't need them anymore. And in the Fox home, they had two dogs. They had two dogs. Daisy was the oldest of the two dogs that was also Sonny's favorite of the two dogs. But Mrs. Fox reasoned in her mind that they could only have room enough for one dog in their car to make this trip to Arizona. And she thought in her mind, well, if we can only take one dog, we might as well take the youngest dog because the youngest dog will live the longest. So Mrs. Fox went to the next door neighbor who loved Daisy and said, "Listen, we're going to be moving. We're trying to find a good home for Daisy. Would you be willing to take Daisy in as your household pet?" "Sure, we'd be happy to. We love Daisy. We'll take good care of her." Well, you can imagine how Sonny felt when he found out about this. He was absolutely heartbroken that his pet would not be able to go with him. And he begged and he pleaded and he begged and he pleaded. Have you ever done that with your parents before? Yeah. Does it get you very far? Usually it doesn't, does it? He begged and he begged, "Please, please, Mama, let me take Daisy with us." "Nope, we don't have room." "And Sonny, I don't want to hear any more about this. We're not taking Daisy with us. That's the end." Well, you would think a sensible child would take the final word of its parent. But Sonny was not happy with that answer. So he decided that he would pray about it. And he got down on his little knees and he began to pray and say, "Lord, you know how much I love Daisy and how much Daisy means to me. Please let Daisy come with me to Arizona. Please, please." And he prayed. And one day he was in the middle of the living room praying this prayer, boxes all around him. And his mother was standing there observing this pathetic situation. And then all of a sudden, Sonny, he stood up. And he said, "Mama, Daisy's coming with us to Arizona." She said, "Sonny, we've already talked about this, and I've told you the final decision is she is not coming. She's staying here. We found a good home. She is not coming with us to Arizona." But Mama, Jesus told me that Daisy's coming with us to Arizona." "I didn't hear it." "I know you didn't hear it, but I heard it, and Daisy's coming." "No, she's not." "Yes, she is. She's coming with us to Arizona. I heard Jesus said that Daisy's coming with us." Just then, there was a on the door. And Mrs. Fox went over and opened the door. And guess who it was? It was the next door neighbor. And she came over and she said, Mrs. Fox, I am so sorry, but somebody came by and they offered us the dog that our family has always wanted. And so we don't have a place for Daisy in our home any longer. So guess what? Daisy went to Arizona, didn't she? And Sonny was happy. Daisy went with him to Arizona, and he could not have been happier. Shortly after they moved there, Daisy snuck out of the backyard and went off into the woods and inadvertently got shot in the jaw by a hunter. She came limping back to the house. Death was at the door for Daisy. She slumped down in the corner of the backyard, and Mrs. Fox knew this was the end. Well, little Sonny was acquainted with a God who hears and answers the littlest of prayers. And so he said, Mama, maybe I should pray for Daisy. And so he got down on his knees, and he said, Dear Jesus, you let Daisy come with us here to Arizona. Surely you don't want her to die now. Please, would you please heal her of this terrible thing that has happened? And he said, Amen. And Daisy got up and came over to the water bowl and drank water and ate food and made a full recovery and was a healthy and happy dog. Isn't that kind of interesting? You know, God is not just in the business of answering big prayer requests, like raising dead buffaloes. But he's even concerned in the littlest of prayer requests. I'm going to put the pause on that story because there's more to it, and we're going to come back to it at the end. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 85. Psalms chapter 85 and verse 8. Psalms chapter 85 and verse 8. Listen to what David says. Psalms 85 and verse 8. This is number 4. The Bible says this: I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. What does David tell us that God will do? The Bible says that God will what?
Speak.
What will he do?
Speak.
He will speak to you in your prayer time. But here's the question. When was the last time you paused long enough in your prayer time to hear God speak to you? Don't answer that. I just want you to think about it. When was the last time you paused long enough to listen to God speak to you in your prayer time? A lot of times we think of our prayer time as just us talking to God, a monologue. But prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. Do you know what I mean? Two ways. We talk to God, God talks to us, and we have a conversation with one another. But to have a conversation, it requires you to? Requires you to what? Okay, so point number 4 is that we need to what? We need to what?
Listen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Good. We need to listen. We need to listen in our prayer time. Now, have you ever had a conversation with somebody that does all the talking? It's not a conversation, is it? Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy just sitting and listening to somebody? Yeah, some people do. Anybody who likes to talk a lot, you can come talk to this young lady over here. I remember one time I was doing a series of meetings, and there was this guy that was coming to my meetings. His name was Ty, and he came every night. And after the meetings in the evenings, I would oftentimes stand at the door and talk with Ty, or Ty would talk with me, I guess. And as we would talk, he would ask me questions, and I would open my mouth to get ready to answer. He just goes off again. He just starts going off. And then he would ask another question. He would go off again. And then he would ask me another question, and I would get three words out of my mouth, and boom, he's off again. And I'm like, what in the world? How am I going to answer this guy's questions? Well, needless to say, Ty's questions did not get answered. But prayer is a dialogue between us and God. And as we pray, we need to pause in our prayer time and allow God to speak to us. Go with me in your Bibles. You're still in Psalms. Let's go over to Psalms 143. Psalms 143 and verse 8. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. If you are into memorizing the Bible, this passage I've memorized, and you do well to memorize it too. Psalms 143, verse 8. Listen to what the Bible says this. It says, cause me to what? Cause me to what? Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the
morning.
For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. What does David say? Cause me to what?
Hear.
Cause me to hear your voice in the morning. Now you can pray that prayer. If you're taking notes, jot down that Bible passage, and tomorrow morning when you wake up, open your Bibles to Psalms 143, verse 8, and pray that prayer to God and say, Lord, cause me to hear thy voice in the morning. Let me hear what you have for me today. Direct me in the path that you want me to go, and then pause and listen to what God wants to say to you. You know, there's a great story in the Bible about a young boy. He was around 12 years old. We don't know exactly how old he was. He might have been a little older. He might have been a little younger, but somewhere around 12. His name was Samuel. You remember that story. Samuel went to go live with a priest by the name of Eli at a very young age. He helped around the temple doing various things. And as the story goes in the Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, he was asleep one night in his room, laying, and he heard a voice call him, Samuel. And where did he go? Priest Eli, here I am, for you called me. Priest Eli said, I did not call you. Go lay down. He went and lay down. Lay down. Samuel. Samuel gets up and runs to priest Eli. Here I am, for you call me. No, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Samuel's like, what in the world's going on here? He lays down. Hears that voice again. Samuel. He gets up and he runs to priest Eli. Here I am, for you call me. No, I did not call you. And then priest Eli realized that it was who calling Samuel? It was God calling him. And so Eli tells Samuel, he says, when the voice calls again, listen to me carefully. When the voice calls again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel goes back and he lays down. And as he's laying in his bed, he again hears that voice. Samuel, Samuel. And if you read the biblical account, the Bible says that Samuel said, speak, for thy servant heareth. He left out a word. What word did he leave out? The word Lord. And if you read the account in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, you will actually find that he left out that word Lord because he could not remember what priest Eli told him to say because he was in awe that the God of the universe wanted to speak to him. But here's the amazing thing to me. Young boy, about 12 years old, he's in his room. He says five words, speak for thy servant heareth. Five words, short prayer, not much to it. And if you read the biblical account, you will actually find that God spoke, in the King James Version, God spoke 103 words to Samuel's five-word prayer. How many of you would like to have that type of prayer life? Short prayers, marvelous answers. And really, this is the way our prayer life should be balanced. It should be more of us listening to God and less of us necessarily talking to God. Allowing God to lead and direct and guide and speak to us the message that he has for us that day. But in order for that to happen, I have to stop and go with me in your Bibles to one more Bible passage, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, this is another beautiful passage of scripture to memorize. Another passage that you can pray in the morning in your prayer time. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, "Call unto me," this is God talking, "call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou," what? No, it's not. Listen, that's what happened to Samuel. When Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," God showed him great and mighty things that he knew nothing about. And it can happen to you. It can happen to young disciples. Here at Young Disciple Bible Camp, you can pray that prayer of Samuel. You can pray the prayer of Jeremiah. You can pray the prayer of David. You can pray these prayers. And if you pause long enough, you will begin to hear the voice of God. Now listen, this is a skill that you develop over time. It's not something that you learn instantaneously. But the more you pray these prayers and the more you pause, the more familiar the voice of God is going to become to you. And you're going to become acquainted with that voice. And it's going to become so sweet that you yearn and you crave for it every single morning. But let me tell you two ways, just very quickly here tonight, that God speaks to us. There are many ways, but two ways that are very definite. Number one is through the Word of God. What is number one? Through the Word of God. So this is what I do in my prayer life. Let's just be practical here. In my prayer life, as I am praying, I oftentimes have my Bible with me, and I will be reading passages of Scripture while I am praying, asking God to speak to me through His Word. Okay, so I have the Word of God there, and I'm asking Him to speak to me, and I pause, and I'm reading, and I'm listening to the voice of God speaking to me through His Word. The second way that God speaks to us is through our conscience. Through our what? You know that little thing inside of your head that tells you what you are doing is wrong? That's what we call our conscience. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit that is speaking to you and guiding you. When you hear the voice of conscience, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, go in the path that it tells you to go. No matter how difficult it is, go in that direction, and you'll be assured that God's voice will become clearer and clearer and clearer to you. Okay, so there's two ways that God speaks to us: through His Word, through our conscience, or through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so number one, we need to have a secret place of prayer. Number two, we need to have a time to pray. Number three, we need to pray aloud where only God can hear. And number four, we need to listen. We need to listen to God. Let God do a little bit of talking to us. So Sonny's in Arizona. He's heard the voice of God tell him that his dog was going to come with him to Arizona. Then God answers his prayer about Daisy getting shot in the face by a hunter. Shortly after that, Mr. Fox, Sonny's father, contracted meningitis, spinal meningitis, which, if you don't know, can be deadly. He was in the hospital, quarantined. Nobody could go in and out of that room except for the medical people that were helping to take care of him. And one evening, Mrs. Fox and Sonny were at home, and they were thinking about Mr. Fox in the hospital, deathly ill, wondering what in the world was going to happen to their beloved father and husband. It was around 11 o'clock, and as they were sitting there talking about Mr. Fox and the situation, Mrs. Fox came up with a bright idea. She said, "Sonny, why don't we pray for your dad? Why don't we pray for Daddy? And ask God right now if He will heal him." She said, "Sonny, you've prayed to God, and God has answered your prayers many times. Why don't you pray right now and ask God if He will heal Daddy?" Sonny thought that was a great idea. He was acquainted with this God who hears and answers prayers. And so 11 o'clock at night, he gets down on his knees and he begins to pray. But unbeknownst to Mrs. Fox and Sonny, at that very moment, the doctors had pronounced Mr. Fox dead in the hospital. No pulse, no breathing. They had pulled a sheet over him, laid the sheet over top of him. He was dead. The doctors were in the room there, and they were cleaning things up, and one of the doctors asked the nurses if she would stop by the Fox home on the way home and tell Mrs. Fox that Mr. Fox had died. She said, sure, I'll do that. Sonny's at home at that very moment, and he's praying, dear Jesus, I love my daddy. Please heal him of his sickness so that he can come home and take care of mommy and I. And thank you, dear Jesus, that you hear this prayer and that you will answer it. And just as Sonny was praying that prayer, back in the hospital, one of the doctors, for some unknown reason, put his hand underneath that sheet and grabbed Mr. Fox's wrist. And he felt a pulse. He went white. One of the other doctors looked at him and, what's going on? He went around the other side and he grabbed the other wrist. There was a pulse. They pulled the sheet back. Mr. Fox was breathing. He was alive. And he made a full recovery. Powerful story, amen? Listen, we serve a God that is ever bending from heaven to earth to hear the sweet petitions of his young disciple children ascending up. And right around 6 a.m. in the morning is a very sweet time for our Heavenly Father, because there's 90 to 100 young people and adults that are in their closet time. They've got that place where they are praying to God, and heaven comes close to earth at that very time. We serve a God who wants to hear the petitions of our hearts. The Bible tells us that prayer is the opening of our heart to God as to a friend. You like talking to your friends? Open your heart to God and tell him what's on your heart. Let him know what's going on. Make your requests known to him. And then pause and listen to what he has to say. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you've got your time, your place, you've got your time, you've been praying out loud, you've been practicing that. But now tomorrow morning, what I want you to do is take a little time to pause with your Bible in your hand and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Will you do that tomorrow morning?
Yes, sir.
Will you do that tomorrow morning?
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of prayer that you've given to us. And Lord, what a tender picture it is for our imagination to see the God of the universe, who's created all things, interested in hearing my prayer, my petition. But Lord, more important than that, we want to hear your voice in the morning. So, Father, we pray that tomorrow, as we pause in our prayer time, that we would hear the voice of God speaking tenderly to us through your word, and that it may thrill our hearts, Lord, and give us the joy, the excitement, and the spiritual strength that we need to go through the day. So bless us to this end, Lord, we pray. We thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.